a model of zeal. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Numbers 25, verses 10 to 13. Balaam was a subtle, wretched man of the world. He was divinely restrained, you remember, from cursing God's people. But this restraint did not regenerate his spirit to make him a child of God. He did not cross over from Moab to Canaan, nor did he leave his heathen friends to identify with the people of God. The poison of sin still worked within Israel through Balaam, and, though prevented from cursing God's people, he plotted to entrap them by suggesting to Balak, the king of Moab, that he invite the young men of Israel to idolatrous feasts and entice them to fornication with the women of Moab. Now you notice first the zeal of Phinehas. While the vile lusts of strong nature still predominate in the young men of Israel, they fell for this trap and went over to Moab like fluttering moths round a bright but destroying flame. God's vengeance slew them so that thousands perished for this iniquity. Pestilence broke out, and the penal death it brought piled up the toll of death. It is indeed an awesome and frightful spectacle. The descent and genealogy of Phinehas is given to show us that he was not a private person in this matter, but a man of public authority, which did this historic fact which is recorded. He was heir apparent to the office of high priest, being a grandson of Aaron, and this act of his would secure him as ready and fit for that office. And we see how Phinehas acted in the presence of this evil. A zeal for God's glory rose up in his soul. His arm was made bare, and he took after the chief offender, Zimri, the son of a prince of the tribe of Simeon, and slew him with his javelin. And with him, his partner in crime, the woman Cosby, daughter of a chief of Midian. For this zealous act to guard the glory of God, the Lord stopped the plague and brought respite. And God said of Phinehas that he hath turned many away from my wrath, from the children of Israel, that is. He caused the effects of that wrath to cease by slaying the two guilty of adultery as before related. He was zealous for my sake among you, said the Lord. That is, he was zealous for the glory of God, for the honor of his law, for the testimony among the heathen, and the good of his own people. And God rewarded Phinehas with great honor. Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. It was a reward of zeal for the honor of God. He was zealous for his God. He could not look on and see God's holy law breached, his commandment defied, his will despised. He rose in righteous indignation to vindicate the honor of God's holy character. He spared not a prince prince at least in the line of succession. Now, the zeal of Phinehas was not based upon natural passion, nor was it the flame of natural temper. He moved in God's will. He did what God would have him do. He was an instrument of vengeance in the hand of his God. And that zeal, God testifies, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. It was a kind of atonement. With the punishment of sin, there was a righteous basis for God to stay his wrath. The greatest honor was that the priesthood was given to Phinehas and would be a perpetual priesthood throughout the ages. Now we see in Phinehas in the second place an anti-type in Christ. Phinehas is but a reflection of all that was ever in the heart of his Lord. In him we see the heart and zeal and work and will of God's beloved Son. Phinehas was a singular type of Christ, whose zeal for the house of God, for the doctrine, discipline, and worship of it, for the salvation of his people, and the glory of God through that salvation, ate him up. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Sin is the cause of God's wrath, and that wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of man. And all of us are deserving of that wrath. But our Lord Jesus Christ has borne it for us, delivered us from it, and from the effects of it. And all redeemed are made secure from that wrath coming upon them. Now, this zeal is first seen in our Lord's entering the fray and coming to grips with a rebellious race. For this he left his home on high, assumed our nature, set his face like a flint to deal with man's mountainous iniquities. And let us not forget that this zeal was first of all for his Father's honor and glory. Lo, I come. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. And as he moved toward the cross, our Lord moves with these words. The hour is come. Father, glorify thy name. John 12, 23 and verse 28. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. John 17, verse 1. Thus it was, first, for his Father's honor, that despising the shame and reproach of the cross, he kept steadfast along that forlorn and wretched way to Calvary. It is not first to secure man's redemption, not first to snatch man from the flames of hell, but first to secure his Father's honor and bring glory to his name. This is why our Lord chose that punishment of sin be born in his own body and absorbed in his own being. God's righteous law could not be changed to accommodate these sinful acts of man. Absolute holiness demands that sin be punished. Only due punishment can maintain God's righteous character. So the Lord Jesus bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. To him, therefore, is given the covenant of grace and power to transmit that grace to his ransom seed. Phinehas would enjoy all peace and happiness, external, internal, and eternal. Messiah means peacemaker, peace giver. Christ is our peace, in whom all the blessings of grace and peace are. These priests had a peculiar nearness to God, and enjoyed his friendship, his favor, his peace, and the right administration of their office brought peace to God's people. And all this you see in Christ. Thus there is a way through that covenant of grace for man to rise out of his sin and to pass into God's holy presence as without blemish. It is God's glory that is the brightest beam in the outshining of redemption story. Justice is honored, the law magnified, truth is exalted, holiness remains unstained, righteousness is kept without flaw, grace rides in triumph, and mercy sings its sweetest song, a salvation. It is all the fruit of Jesus' zeal. Bless God then for the Saviour's zeal. Praise God for his glory, his own glorification, because his beloved Son fought for that glory and glorified him on the earth. He who once laid down his life in his zeal to atone for the sins of man now reigns on high as the high priest of his people forever. Listen to the words. The words of William Sanders. Behold, what wondrous love and grace, when we were wretched and undone, to save a ruined, helpless race, the Father gave his only Son. Of twice 10,000 gifts divine, no gift like this could ever shine. O gift of love unspeakable, O gift of mercy all divine, we once were slaves of death and hell, but in Christ's image we shall shine. Forever gift, a song we raise. For every gift, a song we raise. But this demands eternal praise. Praise shall employ these tongues of ours, till we with all the saints above extol God's name with nobler powers, and see the ocean of his love. Then while we look and wondering gaze, we'll fill the heavens with endless praise. So, Mr. William Sanders, amen. Amen.